here's a story from The World.
Across the globe, leaders are congratulating Joe Biden on his victory in the U.S. election. Some, however, are not picking up the phone since President Trump is refusing to concede. China, for one. Here's Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Wang Wenbin at a weekend press conference.
We note that Mr. Biden has declared victory. We understand that the result of the U.S. presidential election will be determined following U.S. laws and procedures.
The translation there provided by Reuters. For now, China is sidestepping a formal recognition of Joe Biden as the U.S. president-elect. Taiwan, on the other hand, has taken the opposite stance. President Tsai Ing-wen has said that she looks forward to working together to further our friendship and contributions to international society. Here's a headline from Formosa Television, Taiwanese English TV news.
Early Sunday morning, President Tsai Ing-wen congratulated Biden on Twitter. She also attached a congratulatory tweet that Biden had sent her when she was re-elected president earlier this year.
That's Taiwan, though. For now, the tension between the U.S. and the People's Republic of China continues. Trump's prolonged trade war with China has strained relations even before he stepped into the White House, and he's repeatedly blamed China for the pandemic. The friction between the U.S. and China has led to ripple effects across business, culture, and sports. That is the focus of our next story. The NBA has been mounting a full-court charm press, hoping to rebuild business ties with China. And good news for sports fans came last month when China State Television decided to lift a year-long ban on basketball games. The World's Rebecca Canther in Shanghai has the backstory on the NBA's campaign to get back on the air.
Recent college grad Chris Chiao lives in China's northern Shanxi province. Like many young Chinese sports fans, he used to check NBA highlights on his phone every morning after waking up. A year ago, he saw a piece of news that shocked him. The general manager of the Houston Rockets, Daryl Morey, tweeted support for pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong.
Daryl Morey says he didn't intend to offend Chinese fans and friends.
But what in America was seen as freedom of expression had hit a hot-button issue in China, the status of Hong Kong. For Chiao, it was enough for him to stop watching. The tweet really hurt people's feelings and crossed a line, says Chiao. It made me feel he didn't respect us, so why should we still keep watching NBA? Many others had the same question, including the Chinese government. Soon, an announcement came from state-run television.
CCTV's sports channel has just announced that it will suspend the broadcast of any NBA games in China, including this week's preseason games.
This was a disaster for the NBA. There are more NBA fans here in China than there are people in the U.S. Billions of dollars are wrapped up in the game here. NBA teams and players have merchandising deals, advertising agreements, sponsorships. A lot of that got canceled. A few days after the TV ban, Shanghai hosted an NBA exhibition game. Some fans boycotted. This man filmed himself ripping up his tickets to the game. But plenty of other fans said they kept watching their favorite sport. These young basketball players at a public court in Shanghai say the ban didn't impact them at all. They just watched online. This man wearing a Lakers jersey says, "I can't give up the NBA. The way they handled the incident upset us, but we still follow our favorite teams. If the Lakers are playing, I'll be watching." That's the case for a lot of fans, says Joseph Krasenstein, director of marketing at a company that helps NBA players reach out to their Chinese audience.
People will still authentically follow their favorite icons and their idols. And I think that fandom never stopped. If anything, I think the fans doubled down in their fandom and their efforts to keep connected to their favorite stars.
But the fact is, China's refusal to air NBA games on TV was a huge problem, one that the NBA tried to fix through both public and private gestures. At games broadcast in the U.S. at the start of the pandemic, it put up big signs and videos saying, "Go Wuhan." It also sent medical equipment and PPE there. NBA players also reached out to fans directly with messages and donations.
This is David Robinson.
This is Scottie Pippen.
Every year, players film Chinese New Year greetings and other content for their Chinese fans. But this year, they tailored their videos to fans in lockdown.
We just want to send our thoughts
to the people of Wuhan. You are in my thoughts.
My prayers and all my fellow teammates and friends' prayers are going your way.
But the NBA also made some structural changes. For one, it hired a Chinese national to head up NBA China for the first time ever. Tensions continued between the NBA and China, but as the LA Lakers and the Miami Heat went into the final playoff games, China lifted the TV ban and broadcast the last two games. CCTV said what made the difference was the care the NBA showed during the pandemic and its good wishes during a national holiday celebrating the founding of modern-day China. Susan Brownell is an anthropologist at University of Missouri, St. Louis, who studies sports in China. She says the NBA's efforts to appease China were part of a political dance.
I don't know if the NBA was clever enough to have done that intentionally, but they did manage to hit the two biggest culturally important things, which is to support Chinese sovereignty and to express concern for the health of Chinese citizens.
Joseph Krasenstein, the sports marketer, says he can only imagine the kind of negotiations that went on behind closed doors.
You know, there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes with a lot of very influential people on both sides, from the government side to the distribution broadcasting side to also the NBA China side. They've all worked super hard to get back to a level of open dialogue and commitment to pushing the game further in China.
5 days after China lifted the TV ban, Daryl Morey, the Houston Rockets general manager, announced he would leave the team and later joined the Philadelphia 76ers. Susan Brownell says that historically, China has used organized sports to build bridges with other nations and sometimes to burn them.
I think the government has a very, very long memory when it comes to who our friends are. So punishing people economically, that does have a long history going back at least to 1989, but they didn't have that much economic clout then. Now they have much more economic clout in the world, and I definitely think it's an official strategy that they will be using as much as they can.
She thinks international sports organizations should take note and tread carefully. For The World, I'm Rebecca Canther in Shanghai.
From PRX.